A lot of the fun of traveling to someplace new starts in the planning and dreaming stage. That helps you figure out what part of the world you're going to visit next. Let's see what some of our listeners have in mind at 877-333-7425. And our email address is radio@ricksteves.com. Barbara's on the phone from San Clemente, California. Barbara, thanks for your call.
Yes, hi, Rick.
Where have you been traveling lately, or what have you been thinking about in the way of travel?
I've been thinking about Egypt for the second time.
Uh-huh.
About 4 years ago, my sister and I traveled to Egypt and sailed down the Nile in a felucca.
Oh,
and I had a trip planned for my husband and my 14-year-old grandson. That would be his first overseas travel. We were scheduled to go in December 3rd, but we unfortunately canceled it because the State Department warned us not to travel to Egypt at this time. So my question is it safe to travel now or in the near future?
Well, I wish I knew what the near future held. I can only hope it's going to get safer. I was just there a few months ago, and I was glad I went. I felt safe, but I spent enough money to be safe. My take on that is if you are able to stay in a international sort of hotel, they're like forts with security. And if you have a guide who has a driver in a car, you will have your guide meet you with your driver and car at the hotel, and then you'll go out and about and do smart things as a tourist. Now, that seems extravagant, but Egypt is a developing country. It's a less expensive country, obviously, than England or something like that. And I'd say for what a traveler would spend to live modestly in London, you could buy an international class hotel with and have a guide with a driver and a car, and you could travel from that international style hotel as your base. You could travel not recklessly. Would I recommend it? I wouldn't right now. It's just too nervous in Egypt. But I'll tell you, I was all over Egypt, and I saw no tourism really in Cairo, but I saw a lot of tourism in Luxor because there's a cruise port nearby, and people will stop in the cruise port, and then they'll bus in for the day in Luxor. And Luxor feels a lot more comfortable than Cairo or Alexandria. But I can hardly wait for it to calm down there. And you said you cruised the Nile actually with a felucca, is that right? Now,
yes,
isn't
I did.
That? I do that every time I'm in Egypt, and it is just endlessly magical to me.
It is very. And we did it at twilight, just as the sun was going down.
Mm.
And we got to see the ancient mariner travel down the Nile using no equipment at all,
yeah.
Just his smarts.
Now, let's explain to our listeners, what is a felucca? How would you describe it?
A felucca is an ancient Egyptian sailboat. And these mariners have done this kind of sailing without any equipment down the Nile for many, many centuries.
Without any equipment, you mean without like electronic navigation?
Exactly.
Gear and so on.
Yeah. No navigation or anything. Just knowing where those rocks are, where the sunken ships are.
Yeah.
And
you know, it's a big sailboat, all made out of wood. And when there's no wind, they have these poles and they pole it up and down the beautiful shoreline. And Barbara, where did you take your ride from? What city?
I forgot which city we were in, but
yeah,
we started out in Cairo and, of course, did all of the museum trips.
Right.
And I always go overseas with a guided tour.
Yeah, in Egypt, that would make sense for a lot of
right.
people. I think that you can take a felucca ride in Cairo, but I would highly recommend doing it in Luxor or Aswan.
And I think we did it in Aswan.
And I think it's, you know, it seems kind of expensive. It's like $50 for an hour, but you get a crew of two, you get tea, and you get the magic of being on the Nile in the cool of this magic hour when the sun's going down. And
exactly.
And that's something I would recommend for anybody.
Yeah.
Once in their life, you got to be on the Nile at sunset.
Yeah, he also had his little youngster on board, and he had made these little trinkets to sell, which I thought was magical as well.
It's an amazing experience to go to Egypt. Let's just hope and pray that they can get some stability in their country and the tourism can come back, because it's the major part of their economy. It should be. In the past,
it's
been the number one part of their economy, and I understand now it's almost down to nothing. But you know, there's all these boats that are moored on the riverbank and ready to whip back into gear as soon as things calm down and tourists return to Egypt. Barbara, thanks for your call.
Thanks so much, Rick. Bye-bye.
Bye now. A listener named Sue in Girdwood, Alaska, writes us with some questions about an upcoming trip she's planning to France. What do you consider the minimum amount of time for a first visit to Paris? I have about 3 weeks, and I'm thinking 7 to 10 days in Paris, the rest driving in Provence. What do you think? Well, I would say you could spend more time in Paris, Sue, than anywhere in Europe, But, you know, if you have a week, that's plenty. 3 or 4 days would be fast. If you're thinking 7 to 10 days in Paris, that's more than enough. And that leaves you 10 or 12 days for Provence. What I would do is fly into Paris and then take the bullet train, the TGV, down to Provence and pick up a car there. A rental car in Provence is just great. And then get a guidebook for Provence and the Côte d'Azur, the French Riviera, and spend your 10 days tooling around that region with a car. Sue also asks, what's the best time of year to drive around the south of France? I'd love to see the lavender in bloom, but want to avoid the huge summer crowds. Well, if you want to see lavender in bloom, the beautiful violet fields in Provence, you need to be there basically in July, and that's when there's lots of crowds. It's also very hot, so you need to make that choice. You might want to just enjoy the lavender in the postcards and go in a cooler, less crowded time. I like, you know, May or September. Here's a question from Justin in Pacifica, California. I've heard rave reviews about the Calanques, the steep, walled inlets and bays along the Mediterranean coastline. What can you tell me about them? Can I take a boat tour or a scenic walk to experience them? Well, Justin, you're talking about the Calanques that are the fjord-like inlets that are famous around the big city of Marseille. The base for exploring the Calanques is the town of Cassis. And Cassis is a beautiful town in its own right, and it's a good jumping-off point for taking either boat tours or hiking tours of those fjord-like inlets that are characteristic there around Marseille on the south of France. We're checking on listener travel plans and trip reports right now on Travel with Rick Steves. You can email us at radio@ricksteves.com, and you can also post your travel reports and tips online. It's in the radio section at ricksteves.com. And Bill's on the phone in Sharpsburg, Georgia. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Rick. How are you doing?
Doing great.
My wife and I have just recently retired, and we've pretty much traveled all over the world. And we love Italy. We've been there 4 times. We love it, and we're thinking about living there for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'd like the recommendations is, what area would you recommend? I love all of it. Mm-hmm. And also, would you recommend living in a city or out in the country? We'd like to just rent a place and live like an Italian for a year.
Boy, that sounds so exciting. And, you know, there are a lot of people who have done just that. We've talked to them over the years on our radio show here, and you can always look into the archives of our show at the Radio Corner at ricksteves.com and listen to some of the discussions we've had with people who have bought fixer-uppers in different parts of Italy, and you can hear their, you know, the ups and downs of chasing their dreams that way. Of course, under the Tuscan sun, you know, is a big thing, and everybody's dreaming about, you know, having that magical experience in Tuscany. But there's a lot more to Italy than Tuscany. Tuscany is the most popular destination for a lot of romantics wanting to go to Italy and get back to basics. You know, if I had a year in Italy, I think I would think of the diversity in Italy, and I think I would break it up. That might be defeating the purpose of what you want to do, is just settle down and get to know the community. But I find that when you go to a restaurant or a cafe in Italy for your second or third time, all of a sudden, you're part of the family, you're part of the gang, and you can become a local pretty quickly when you travel around Italy if you're embracing the local culture. And I would consider trying the experience in the big city, try the experience in the south, try the experience in the north, try the experience in the hill towns, try the experience on the Riviera. You've got lots of different options that way. And
yeah.
You might want to spend a month going around and just scouting. Economic times are kind of tough, and there's all sorts of apartments that are not very expensive at all that are ready to rent tomorrow. And if you found a place you liked, you could book them, and you could go find another place, and you could cobble together, you know, 4 stops over a year after 1 month of scouting. That's what I would do.
Yeah, it's interesting. I hadn't thought about that because we've been to most of the places in Italy, but and we only go to one place. When we go over any country, we stay at one city. We get to know it.
Well,
and,
here's
we don't try and say, I've been to 5 countries
in
5 days.
Oh, that's the luxurious way to go. Here's what I'd say right off the top of my head. Milano. Milano is no-nonsense today's Italy. They say for every church in Rome, there's a bank in Milan. Italy has recently surpassed England in per capita income, and it's not because of San Gimignano and Venice. It's because of no-nonsense big cities like Milano. And Milano has an elegance that's just really great, and you can side-trip from there up to the beautiful lakes all around the place where Italy is kind of welded to the Alps, just below Switzerland. So I'd consider Milano for your big city. I would consider Volterra as your best hill town. Volterra in Tuscany. It's sort of off the beaten path, and it is everything you want in a hill town with a wonderful selection of restaurants. I find very friendly locals, beautiful history, and a history that goes all the way back to Etruscan times. Siena is just a magical place. It's quite touristy, but if you went there off-season and if you moved in, you could find yourself really connecting with Siena. And then south of Rome, Sorrento is a beautiful limoncello kind of city where you've got a springboard to lots of beautiful things to see and do in and around the Bay of Naples and the Amalfi Coast and also out to the islands nearby. So Sorrento would be a place to consider. If you wanted Italy in the very intense kind of way, you could check out a city. You could stay in Palermo, you could stay in Syracuse and Sicily, or you could stay in Naples. But, you know, there's really no right answer. There's so many great places to stay.
Yeah.
Ravenna is a beautiful place if you have a bicycle and you just want to get an elegant town that is not overrun by tourists. Ravenna has its famous churches, but most tourists just zip in and out to see the churches. And I find that Ravenna has a charming kind of stay-a-while sort of ambience to it.
It's a hard choice. I like your idea about maybe just going to 2 months here and 2 months there or something
All right.
like that, you know.
Well, Bill, I think it's a problem that a lot of people wish they had. How are you going to spend in Italy, a year in Italy? Let us know when you get done, okay?
Okay, very much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for all your advice through the years. I've been following you for a long time.
Thanks, Bill, and good luck with your adventure. I know it's going to be great.
I'm going to go start packing right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Saul in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania writes, I'm planning a 2-week trip to Italy. We're trying to maximize the places we visit while minimizing the number of times we have to change hotels. Is it worth using 2 or 3 cities as a home base, or should we just deal with moving every 2 or 3 days? You know, Saul, a lot of people like to make a home base. You can make a home base in Rome and side trip out, a home base in Florence and side trip out, a home base in Siena, a home base in Milano, or whatever. But I would rather relocate because I really like spending the evenings in the small towns. And when you side trip out from the big cities, you won't have the joy of being in small towns after dark. A lot of these small towns in Italy are inundated with tourist crowds during the middle of the day, but at night they retreat to the predictable plumbing of their big city hotels, and the local people have made their money, and then they become more relaxed. A tourist trap like San Gimignano or Orvieto may feel really touristy in the middle of the day, but if you enjoy the evening there, you'll have fine restaurants with much cheaper prices than the big cities, and you'll have hotels that are more affordable than the big cities, and you'll enjoy the romance of these towns without all the heat and the intensity and the crowds of midday. Stuart in Spartanburg, South Carolina asks, how's driving around Italy if you have yet to drive in Europe? Sounds like Rome itself is daunting, but I'd like to get the local flavor outside of Rome. Well, Stuart, driving in Italy is on the freeways, a lot like driving in France or Germany. The difference between Germany and Italy is you have toll booths every half an hour or something you have to stop and pay for, but the freeways in Italy are just really great. You would not want to drive in big cities in Italy. Driving in Naples or driving in Rome or Florence is nerve-wracking. It's expensive because you probably can't read the signs that say in clear Italian, if you pass this point, you'll get a big steep ticket if you're not a local resident with your car. So, you know, you either can't drive in the cities or driving in the cities is crazy. A rental car in Rome is just a big, expensive headache. The point is, do big cities first and then pick up your car when you're ready to tool around in the countryside. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Alice is on the line in Carlsbad, California. Alice, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick. Okay, well, I want to tell you about some of the most memorable moments I've had. And my husband and I also love Italy, and that's where we've been mostly. Asking people for directions. I mean, you talk about people to people. This is a really good way to connect with them. And I had one memorable moment in Trapani. My husband and I knew we were right near where the B&B was, but we couldn't find it. So I just said, stop the car. I'm going to go find someone. And it was right by a square. I went up and found this elderly lady. And she spent about 45 minutes with me. We went and talked to all her friends and asked where it was, and we went to the tourist office. I mean, we went everywhere. Finally, we found out where it was. She marched me up to the door and said, here you go. And it was really a memorable experience.
Now, Alice, explain to our listeners, where is Trapani?
It's in Sicily, down. It's not far from Palermo.
It's way on the west end of Sicily, right?
Yes. We were there for Easter, and it was fabulous. They have this most fabulous procession that they have every year, and it's one of the biggest they have in all of Europe.
Now, tell us about that. Were you there on the curb watching the Passion go by, or what was it?
It was, they started a church, and they spend the night in there decorating. You can go in the night before and watch them decorating with the most beautiful flowers, roses and orchids and, oh, peonies, beautiful flowers.
Mm.
And then the next day, they start this procession, and each, you would might call it a float, I don't know, it's, mm-hmm. it's a scene of the cross,
mm-hmm.
and each one comes out with all these guys in black suits, carry it on their shoulders, they're very heavy, and they each have a band that goes with them that plays this, mm. this wonderful music. And
now, Alice, excuse me, these would be statues that sit in the niche in their church all year long, and they get sort of set out free in the Easter time?
Each one is decorated by a certain group of people, like the bakers, the tailors, the fishermen. You know, each one has their own statue that they do each year.
Wow.
It's absolutely fabulous. And they parade all through town all night and all day. And the next morning they come back and into the church again.
Now, you were in a town where there was, I don't think there's a lot of tourism in Trapani.
No, there? There isn't.
So you got a nice look at Italy, and in fact, Sicily, which I consider Italy in the extreme, without the tourists. And you were there on Easter. What a great, great opportunity.
It was beautiful.
You know, springtime is a beautiful time to be in Italy, that's for sure. How did you find Sicily, just in general? Sicily has a reputation of being, you know, with organized crime and a lot of intensity. How were you welcomed by the people?
I tell you, it took us several visits to Italy before I finally got up the nerve, I think. Mm-hmm. I thought I was a little worried, but I said, we're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fabulous. People were friendly. There was never a problem. I loved it.
I think that is so interesting how so many people hear so many stories that get so extreme when they just travel over the ocean or whatever, the result is they never avail themselves to some of the most beautiful travel opportunities on the planet. I mean, going to Sicily is just great, but a lot of people would think you're quite courageous to do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, they've said that about other things I do.
I like your philosophy of just asking questions. All over Europe, I've found that, even if I know the answer, I like to ask the question just to see the twinkle in someone's eye and hear their voice.
Yeah, and it helps to know a little bit of the language,
yeah.
You know, just enough to get by.
Anybody can do that. All right. Yes. Hey, well, thanks so much for your call, and happy travels in the future.
Thank you.
Bye now. Barbara in Bountiful, Utah, emails us about the logistics for a trip to Turkey that she's thinking about. Barbara writes, I'm planning to visit Istanbul soon. It's been my hope for several years to also visit Ephesus. How easy is it to get from one to the other? Well, of course, Istanbul is the great city, along with London, Paris, and Rome. I think Istanbul deserves more time than any other European city. You'll want to fly into Istanbul, Barbara, spend 4 or 5 days there at a minimum, and then most people would fly to Izmir. And from Izmir, you can catch a bus to Ephesus. You can also fly to an airport near Kusadashi, and from there catch a bus to Ephesus. When you get to Izmir or Kusadashi, you could go there on an overnight bus, but I would just fly. People fly in Turkey now routinely. Domestic flights in Turkey are quite cheap and easy to book. You'll get around easily in the region of Ephesus by public transportation. Ephesus, by the way, is my favorite ancient site in the west of Turkey. And remember, you know, 2,000 years ago, the west coast of Turkey was called Iona. It was a part of the Greek world. And you'll find a lot of wonderful Greek and Roman ruins in what we think of as Turkey today. But back in ancient times, was actually part of Greek culture.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington, by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Wolner. Our website team includes Andrew Wakeling and Kate Mulhern-Graham, and our theme music is by Jerry Frank. You'll find more in the radio section of ricksteves.com, and we'll see you next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.
Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. Tips about traveling in Europe and information about the EU are available at euintheus.org.